It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully your day is going well. It's crazy windy out there. You look outside, you're like, it's in the 30s. That's a lot warmer than it was. And you get blown away and knocked down by the dadgum wind. So, all right, our phone lines are open, 946-0435. I say this a lot, maybe, but I try to be honest with you. If we're going to have a good show or a bad show, I'll usually tell you. Sometimes we got a bad show. Some of them are stinkers, you know. We got a great show for you today. Neil Riddell's going to join me here in about 10 minutes. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty with some Penn State football stuff. And it's on this topic, right? Everybody can look forward to this. Clearly, Penn State is buying in at a very, very high level right now. You go spend $3 million on a defensive coordinator, you got to pay the players in NIL. We've never seen this level of buy-in with Penn State football. Can we all agree with that? We've never seen this level of economic buy-in and complete commitment from everyone top to bottom within the administration, within the football organization, all things considered. Can we agree on that? Well, my question is, why? Why haven't we seen the buy-in until 2025? Are you following what I'm saying? Why, with one of the great football programs in this country, with all of the resources that Penn State has had and has now, why are we just now talking about this in 2025? Penn State's all in. We're all in. They're buying in. Ohio State bought in like 40 years ago. Michigan bought in 40 years ago. Alabama bought in 50 years ago. So the good news is, does Penn State have a chance at a national championship next year? Yes. Some things will have to go their way, but yes, they've got a shot. Can we say, hey, way to go. You went out and you got the best possible defensive coordinator you could get in Jim Knowles, $3.1 million for three. That's great. That's good. Ohio State's been doing this your whole life. Oh, but Geiger, you know, Penn State really spent a lot of money during the Joe Paterno. Well, did they? Because we're going to get to that, too. We were told that in the 90s and the 2000s that Penn State's facilities were just as good as anybody else's. And then Bill O'Brien came along and said, that's not really true. And James Franklin comes along, and while he wanted to believe James at the time, James says, we had better facilities in some ways at Vanderbilt than Penn State had in some specific areas. So it's just kind of comical to me that Penn State's completely bought in. They're buying in 100% right now, right? Why didn't they before? Now, look, there are some very specific answers and reasons I'm going to give you, including going down a dark path from the scandal and the sanctions and how Penn State was viewed both internally, externally, all. So there are some fascinating ways that we can look at the Penn State football program level of buy-in from every – and, folks, I'm not talking about just from fans. I'm talking about boosters. I'm talking about the people with the big, big bucks. Not just Terry Pegula coming in and buying hockey teams, but I'm talking about have you seen the number of people giving – from $1 to $5 million over the last 3 to 4 months toward the football stadium renovation. I mean, they're up to like $80 million in private gifts from just generous boosters in the last probably 5 months or so. Okay, well, again, that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Where was that before? Okay, you can't just say everything is finally great in 2025 without wondering why it took so long. Why did it take to 2025? So we're going to get into all of that with Neil Riddell. We'll talk about the defensive coordinator hiring. Before I do that, I wanted to mention, Wednesday. I've probably encountered, I would say, give or take a dozen, maybe 10 people over the last couple of days who have all wanted to talk to me about the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL rigging things so that the Chiefs could win. So what's fascinating, there's so much Chiefs fatigue out there. Look, this is their third – they're going for their third straight Super Bowl title, which would be unprecedented. They are in the Super Bowl for the fifth time in 6 years. That is unprecedented. Clear. What happens in the world is this. You kind of root for the underdog. You kind of root for a team that hasn't had it happen before. And then you're just amazed. And wow, it's great. See what they're doing. You fall in love with it. But then after they start winning what we deem to be a little too much, what happens? We go the other way. We got to knock you off your pedestal. You're getting too big for your britches. We did that with the New England Patriots. Did anybody really even care about the New England Patriots 24 years ago before Tom Brady stepped in? Before Drew Bledsoe got hurt, Tom Brady steps in, boom, boom, boom. Were the New England Patriots on anyone's radar in any way, shape, or form at that point? No. Now, not so much now the last few years, but when Brady and Belichick were there, the Patriots are the most hated team in the NFL. And maybe the Cowboys. The Cowboys have kind of always been the most hated team in the NFL. But with success comes jealousy. With success comes fatigue. We're tired of you winning. We want to spread the word. So what I wonder about, anybody want to jump in on this, 946-0435, and we'll take your phone calls, my Penn State topic as well. How much of the Chiefs' fatigue is jealousy versus how much of it is conspiracy? How much of it is the anti-Taylor Swift movement? How much of it is the refs are going to give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt, seemingly on every key play? So all these things come into play. Because the America's favorite football team right now, I promise you, the favorite NFL team in this country right now is the Philadelphia Eagles. Unless you are just a specific Chiefs fan, you are rooting for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Not just because you're here in Pennsylvania, although, this is Steeler country. If you take a look at maps around the country of who the leading fans in every state, who they're hoping to win the Super Bowl the most, it's all green. It's all green. Because, again, is it Chiefs fatigue? Is it jealousy? Now, I was a Patriots fan during their dynasty, and I look back on it and thought, well, this is all just jealousy. But realistically, Tom Brady would get calls. If you breathed on him wrong, it was a key penalty. So those kinds of things did happen with the Patriots. And then obviously you had Spygate to begin all that. Then you had Deflategate later on. So this notion that the Patriots were cheating added to their villainy. Not only could you dislike the Patriots because they were successful and because maybe you were jealous of them, but you also had the somewhat reasonable or realistic fallback of you thought they were cheating. It's completely reasonable for you to think that. Now, whether or not they were cheating, again, but it's reasonable for you to think that they were cheating, if you follow what I'm saying. So that to me is fascinating. Again, I've had 10, 12 people bring this up to me in the last couple of days. What do I think about the Chiefs? What do I think about them getting every call from the NFL? And I talked about it on Friday. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. Yes, we did land on the moon. No, the earth is not flat. I don't believe in those kinds of things. But yes, I do believe that there is a conspiracy, at least a wink and a nod conspiracy to favor the Kansas City Chiefs. And that it's been talked about so much more, I'd say, over the last 3 weeks or so as they've continued to advance. And with a week and a half to go before the Super Bowl, it really just continues to be. I heard Mike Florio talking about it on Rich Eisen's show, the way the Chiefs seem to get every call. You're now getting at this at the highest levels of the NFL, where even a lot of kind of talking heads that represent the face of the league are bringing this up. It's pretty fascinating. All right, really looking forward to our Penn State conversation here with Neil Riddell coming up after the break. Penn State's all in. They're buying all in. 2025 could be the year. Why didn't it happen sooner?
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
We've got a phone issue here. We'll get Neil Riddell whenever we can get our phone issue worked out. So I'm shooting him a text as we speak. So we'll get that. If you want to join me, 946-0435, 946-0435. The question is, again, as I discussed at length in the first segment, it is tremendous that Penn State is buying in. Why did it take so long? And did we fully realize or recognize that it was taking so long? I think for a long, long time, we didn't recognize that. So, again, we'll get into all that here in just a minute whenever we can connect with Neil Riddell. I wanted to get back to the NFL discussion for just a second, because I do think it's fascinating when you take a look at what you're rooting for, what your own rooting interests are. If you're rooting for your own team, obviously, you know, that's simple. But if you're not rooting for your own team, how do you decide who you're rooting for from someone else? College football is a very interesting one. So if you're a Penn State fan, and Ohio State's playing Notre Dame in the national championship game. Now, look, Ohio State's in the Big Ten. Ohio State beats you all the time. It is your rival. Penn State will call itself unrivaled, but Ohio State is Penn State's rival. So if you're a Penn State fan, were you rooting for Ohio State to win the national championship, or were you rooting for Notre Dame? Now, look, we have a lot of Notre Dame fans here. I'm talking to those of you out there that don't have or didn't have a rooting interest, say, for Notre Dame. I, for one, have always kind of rooted for teams in my conference. Say, I grew up as a Syracuse basketball fan. If Syracuse wasn't going to win, I would root for somebody in the Big East. Those were people that teams, players that I was familiar with. Those are the teams and players that I wanted to see succeed. If my team couldn't succeed, but if you were a Penn State fan, I'm curious, if you were rooting for Ohio State. So the way this goes with the NFL is you've got the Eagles, and we do have Eagles fans here, but I think the whole country is rooting against Kansas City. So people will be rooting for the Eagles en masse in this country, but really because of that Chiefs fatigue that we've been discussing. I'll get back to all that here in just a second. I want to welcome in Neil Riddell right now from the Altoona Mirror to have our a good Penn State discussion. What's going on today, man? How you doing?
Hey, Corey. How are you?
All right.
I don't have Chiefs fatigue.
You don't have Chiefs fatigue? You're okay with the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, honestly, and it wouldn't bother me if they lose, but I'm not standing up on the table rooting for them, but I'm admiring their greatness. I really am.
I'm like that too. I kind of want to see greatness. I'm rooting for the Eagles. I maybe because the Saquon stuff in Pennsylvania, but like dominance. I like dynasties.
Yeah, I think it's been good for the game. I mean, look, you got Mahomes, one of the greatest of all time. Andy Reid, same. And, they just always seem to make the plays when they have to. I know they've gotten a lot of borderline calls. But you know what? I mean, you got to beat them.
If I can, because I have a great Penn State discussion, but I just want to ask you about one thing. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk was on with Rich Eisen, and they were talking very specifically about the 4th-and-1 play where Josh Allen tried to reach the ball. And Mike Florio brings up, he's kind of joking, they're using the same technology to measure first downs as they did in 1921. Two guys on the sideline with a 10-yard chain link, and then the human eye. And he brought up this point, Neil, which is fascinating to me. He said, what happens is you have the two side judges, and they both see where the ball is, and then they start walking toward each other, and one of the side judges had the Bills getting the first down, and the other side judge had it the opposite. And this was fascinating. What Mike Florio said was, at that point, one of those guys has to defer to the other guy. It's like, at that point, the alpha male takes over. And the other official, look, I've got it, Neil, I've got it here at the 42-yard line and 1 inch. You've got it here at the 42-yard line and no inches. Well, now we've got to determine in the blink of an eye, am I going to give in to you? Are you going to give in to me? And then you go to the replay, obviously. But it's fascinating that here we are with all the technology we have, and that's the system we still have it. No sensors on the ball, no technology on the sides to see where the ball – it's incredible to me that that's still the way we measure first downs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know which of those officials in that case is the one that you're supposed to defer to. Did they ever even measure, or did they just make a ruling?
Yeah, I don't think they brought the chain out. I don't think they brought any kind of chain out. I think they just – yeah. Had it short.
Yeah. right. But the kids still should have made the catch to keep it alive.
Yeah.
Because Allen made a great play to get it down the field.
I'm with you there.
See such bang, bang stuff. I mean, we go on. I mean, to me, in the Ravens game where they were called a defensive pass interference it really looked like Buffalo offensive pass interference, which led to a touchdown right in front of the half,
yeah.
Put the Ravens in a big hole. I mean, every game is going to come down to the game of inches. I really am tired of the tush-push. I don't even think it's safe anymore when guys are going to start launching themselves. So, but it should be a great Super Bowl anyway.
What do you make? We'll kind of take this incrementally here. What do you make of the fact that Penn State landed the defensive coordinator from the national champion who just so happens to be Ohio State and then pays that guy the most of any college football assistant coach? What do you make of just that individual development with all of those components?
Well, you know, when it started breaking on Twitter that he was in the mix, I'm like, really? They're gonna go out and roll the dice on and make him the highest paid assistant? Now, obviously, they're weakening Ohio State, and I don't know what all has gone on behind the scenes, but hey, they're serious. I mean, you know, and this is what it took. You were probably there about a year. It was in the summer. Remember, it was like the $13 million discussion about, hey, you know, when we first saw that number for the first time, it turned out it was really $20
million, yeah, right,
with Ohio State's mm-hmm. roster. And we were all saying, geez, that seems like $13 million for your roster. And so, you know, we're in a time that it's also unbelievable. And Penn State used to be very modestly paid. I mean, you know, probably a dozen years ago, the whole staff didn't make 3.1.
Okay, so that's jumping ahead,
so,
because,
you know, it's hard to swallow for the older timers. But hey, you know, so's continuing to lose games with the better team. So you can't beat them. You might as well join them.
So let's do the good news first, because all of that is really what I'm fascinated and intrigued to hear you discuss. But the good news is, can we agree? They're fully bought in. They've got everybody on the same page more than ever before. Administration, people paying the bills. Is this the most bought in that Penn State's been?
Oh yeah, that's what I wrote yesterday. I mean, it's you've heard him use the terms bold and aggressive. You've heard him use repeatedly now how aligned they are, and not only saying he's aligned with the administration, but mentioning Pat Kraft, Neely Bendapudi. He'll mention the chair of the board, the old chair and the new chair. I mean, and Kraft, I've never seen this either, certainly not at Penn State. You know, he stands on the sidelines during the game, and I mean, you talk about a guy that is really a player's AD. You know, I'm wondering if he thinks he's going to get in, you know? I mean, he stands right behind James.
Yeah. He's Rudy. He's ready. He's ready to play. Make a play.
Yeah. So, you know, James has got his AD there for sure. And we'll see. They got to go to Columbus next year. It's going to be one of the games of the year for sure in college football. Maybe right now it would be the preseason game of the year. Projected. So, yeah, they're all in.
Okay, so here's the fascinating part. They're completely bought in, and it's 2025, and they're going all in. My question is, why did it take so long? You mentioned Neely Bendapudi. You mentioned Pat Kraft. Was Eric Barron not bought in? Was Sandy not bought in? Was Tim Curley not bought in? Who was the president before? Who I don't remember before Eric Barron, to be honest
Erickson.
With you. Okay,
Erickson.
Yeah, Ronnie Erickson.
Erickson.
So and that's my question.
Really, we really need to revisit.
We do. We do. Because that's part of. I'm very curious. Basically, what I'm asking is, why did it take so long? And
well,
we can't
out of crisis.
Right. We can't ignore that for you. So, but let's even go back to the '90s and the 2000s. Okay, because we thought Penn State had all these phenomenal facilities. You know, Joe was making $1 million, but they kept that secret for a long time. They weren't, as you mentioned, from what we can gather, they weren't paying the assistant coaches a ton. Now, Joe, I guess, had deals worked out where they could get paid or whatever, you know. But so where was Penn State's buy-in, Neil, 25 years ago.
Well, hey, first of all, I mean, they were the Joneses. Joe used to say, hey, we got to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. They were the Joneses in a lot of ways. I mean, look who they were competing against mm-hmm. in the East. I mean, they had double the size of the stadium of Pitt was 60,000. Penn State at that point was 85. You know, old Mountaineer Field. Originally, Archbold Stadium was Syracuse, and then Syracuse put the dome in. But Penn State really set the pace. They, you know, for the facilities. You know, whether the Haluba Hall and the Lash Building and whatnot. You know, gradually some other people in the SEC, particularly. Caught up to them, and they maybe they rested on their laurels, and they weren't the huge spenders, but you know, hey, they were the team that was that all the officials wanted to work at Penn State. It was the biggest place, so they had an advantage over a lot of their competition as an independent. Maybe as the years went on, hey, they let some things, obviously let too many things slide. And Joe was pretty conservative in terms of, you know, what they were paying people, and other people caught up to them. You know, Alabama hired Saban, and Penn State pretty much owned Saban when he was at Michigan State. So, you know, I think that it was probably a philosophy. They were you know, kind of measured in how they approached things, and some people passed them, and then they had a crisis on their hands.
I go back to the STEP program first of all, before the crisis, but the STEP program, they probably could have done that 5-8 years earlier and made tens of millions of dollars more. I remember when the STEP program was first instituted, it created a lot of backlash and everything, but we did studies and stories that other teams in the Big Ten had been doing this, you know, years earlier. Did they kind of miss the boat on jumping into the financial deep end as soon as they could have?
Maybe. If you recall, Adam Talaferro came out to signal the new stadium, the north end zone, you know, put that wing up there. And that's when, you know, and they promptly lost to Miami like 33-7. And then they proceeded to have four losing seasons in 5 years. So there was a lot of question on the direction. They weren't exactly dealing with a lot of momentum. You know, they had planned to play for a national championship in 99, and they collapsed at the end of that year. And again, you know, now you're losing. So, and you got an aging coach that the national story was, well, how long is he going to continue? So there were some other clouds, obviously, around the program until it all burst. So, you know, maybe they just, as far as their fundraising and whatnot, I think they did set the pace, you know, through the stadium multiple expansions, and they were the Joneses, and people were trying to keep up with them. And then people passed them.
We're not going to rehash all the terrible things that happened, but I want to look at it through this lens, because if the lens we're looking at is, why is it taken until 2025 to buy in? What happened right now to buy in? Well, obviously after the scandal and the sanctions, Joe's forced out. How many donors out there were done with Penn State and didn't want to give money because Joe was forced out? Is that a reality?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. They lost a lot of people. They lost a lot of laddermen. I mean, they're just lost, you know, how many to this day, you know, you run into people that feel that he was wronged in that. And you're talking about 13 years after it had 12 years after he has died, 13 years after he has died. And so, yeah, absolutely. There's people that still feel that they, you know, they should put the statue up and they can raise money through that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think where some of it came into play, Corey, is James, although he got support from Sandy, I think because they were coming out of these sanctions, I think they were, you know, very careful in how they wanted to jump in with both feet like they are now.
That's the great.
And
That's my next question, because that's something that doesn't get talked about a lot, kind of the little bit of the uncomfortable. Penn State, was viewed nationally as only caring about football, and so everything else happened. How long did it take for maybe Penn State to again start to think, it's okay for us to raise money for football? It's okay. We don't have to apologize for raising as much money as we can for football. How many years were they set back after the scandal? Because maybe the school was just a little bit embarrassed by that national perception that all they cared about was football.
Well, sure. And, they, you know, if you look at their board of trustees, you know, there was some internal strife on, you know, not only, you know, the stadium now is going to have a $700 million renovation, but, you know, they a couple people voted down, influential people voted down Lash improvements and things like that, and saying that, hey, the university is not here to serve the football program. It's vice versa.
Right.
So there was, you're seeing it with Knowles. You don't think there was some internal combustibility on that Ohio State staff mm-hmm. for him to decide, you know, he's all of a sudden going to go to Penn State, a rival after they win a national title. So there was stuff going on behind the scenes. And I think there was people that just wanted to take their time at Penn State. And, you know, I can't totally disagree with that.
Sure. And again, the overriding point I'm trying to get here is why, because I said earlier jokingly, Ohio State was bought in 40 years ago. Michigan was bought in 40, 50 years ago. Alabama, so we're talking about if Penn State's buying in, but obviously Penn State went through something 15, 14 years ago. But I want to ask you about the James Franklin component, because even though James was very, very successful, starting in 2016, it took a little, I think some people were rubbed the wrong way by James, thinking he was a used car salesman in 14, 15. I think James is a pretty sincere guy. I believe him for the most part when he says something. I don't try to look through some kind of slippery slope. But how many boosters out there just didn't really want to support James Franklin? How many people out there, Neil, even though he won in 2016, that they were just still reluctant to think, well, he can't beat Ohio State, he can't beat Michigan, he can't win the big game. Until he starts winning games, I'm not going to write a check.
Hey, that's why you hear it all the time in coaching. You don't want to follow the legend. You want to follow the guy that follows the legend. Well, really, the legend was still, the shadow was still dwarfed, even through Bill O'Brien. I mean, Bill O'Brien was a Band-Aid and did a tremendous job, doesn't get enough credit in the 2 years he kept the program together through, you know, all kinds of crisis, unexpected crisis. But, you know, James was still dealing with that. I'm sure he would privately say that. But so I think that's all part of it. I think more people are buying in now. I mean, you know, the guys, you know, you look at the granted, you know, you say, well, they won 13 games, the most in history. Well, they've played more games than any of the teams in their history. But, hey, the guy's doing a really good job, and all that's left to do really is win a national championship.
They're doing a good job. They're going to have a shot next year mathematically. Look, I'm not here to take away anybody's hope that this could happen, but I do want to ask this. Did they cheat their way to become – not cheat. Did they sidestep their way to becoming elite? Because we've been talking about this for 6.5 years now, and I think basically you could say Penn State's elite. When you're in the Final Four and you've got the highest paid coach, assistant coach, and there are a lot of things. You wrote a column a couple months ago saying they were already elite as a program, maybe even if they – so, and then they get to the Final Four by beating SMU and Boise. So they've benefited from exposure, from finances, from the buy-in factor. They've benefited a hell of a lot, Neil. And they still really haven't beaten anybody. So does that stick in the back of your mind of have they truly earned where they are right now yet?
Well, I don't disagree. I mean, I think they're an elite program, but there's always a but with them. They haven't beaten Ohio State. They didn't play Michigan this year. They did get the benefit of a favorable draw with SMU and Boise. And that's why the Notre Dame loss was so painful. And that's why the Oregon loss in a lot of ways when they weren't ready to go hurt, because they would have beaten number one. They would have been number one heading into the playoff. Mm-hmm. He could have erased that narrative, and he certainly could have erased it against Notre Dame, because you definitely don't have to apologize when you beat Notre Dame. Now, I think Penn State was better than Notre Dame. I just think Notre Dame played tougher and better in the clutch, and that's been another problem. It's like they always seem to find a way to not maximize the moment in their losses. So they've got to do better at that next year when they go to Columbus, when they have Oregon coming in here, because they're going to have a favorable schedule.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'll close with this, that people feel better about Penn State football right now today than they probably have in a long time. And there are a lot of good reasons. So I'm nitpicking here just because I do think it's an interesting discussion. People feel better right now than they have in a long, long time. They still lost to Ohio State at home by botching the play calls inside the 5-yard line. They gave up 45 points in the Big Ten championship game in a loss that I don't think anybody even cared that they lost. I mean, I've never covered a Penn State loss, Neil, where people cared less that they actually lost because they knew the playoff was coming. They give up 45 yard points. They scored 37 as a competitive game, but they still lost. Typically, when Penn State loses any game to anybody for any reason, there's a backlash. There was none. There was no backlash against Oregon. And then Notre Dame, your supposed 5-star quarterback, throws one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see in a game that you probably should have won. And so I am just having a difficult time. There's more optimism about Penn State football than I can ever remember. And I'm still wondering, have they earned it yet? They did lose their three games to the teams that mattered.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. But what did they do, though? They lost that game to Notre Dame 48 hours later when you thought for sure one, if not both, of their really good running backs would be gone. Mm-hmm. Because how many hits can running backs take? These guys are coming back. And Aller reaffirmed that he's coming back despite his interception. And he's got a lot to prove next year. And maybe the guy other than Carter, who was going to be drafted higher than all of them, Dennis Sutton, decides he's coming back. So, hey, these kids, it's a good time to be an athlete, good time to be a coach. I mean, these kids down there now, they may make more money to stay at Penn State next year than they would have if they would have been middle round or later round NFL picks. Plus, they don't have to pay anything for their housing or their food.
Wait till the NCAA within the next 6 to 8 months agrees to a fifth year of eligibility. I'm wondering if Drew Aller's coming back in 2026. I'm being completely serious here because it's going to happen. They're going to sign off on the fifth year of eligibility, and I mean, basically, everybody on this team could still come back in 2026 if they wanted to.
Well, if he does, then that Grunkmeyer, I always mispronounce his name, should find another place.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that I don't like, where you got guys coming back for six, and a seventh season for some of these guys. I just think it's time to kind of move on because, where's the hope for the high school recruiting or even the portal?
Yeah, good stuff. It's a great discussion. Hopefully you had a good time traveling all over the country for all these games. It was certainly a memorable run.
Oh, absolutely. It was. And, they'll be able to build on that for next year. And there is a lot of excitement. So we'll see if they can still get over the hump.
Appreciate the discussion, man. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Corey.
Good stuff there. Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror. If you want to join us, 946-0435. I want to welcome Chuck in here real quick. Chuck's been waiting on the line. I think Chuck had said Super Bowl earlier, but I'm not sure how much of that you got to hear with me posing the question. Okay, Penn State's buying in 2025, but why did it take this long? Should that be part of the discussion?
Having lived in State College as long as I have, that paternal mindset like ruled everything, and meaning that even after everything that happened and they're hiring, you could watch Penn State still do business like they had always done business.
Mm-hmm.
And that was prior to all of that institutional mindset in terms of the way they did recruiting and their salary structure and everything along those lines. It was very much tied to it almost seemed like a pre-internet element in terms of recruiting. Because, as Neil had said, Penn State had this edge because they were such a top dog in the East that
they were the big boys. Then they joined the Big Ten. I wanted to get into this with Neil, but we had a lot. Then you joined the Big Ten, and now you got other big boys who are used to be. And so that, to me, is where Penn State probably thought it was ready. And, you know, all these years later, they've had some success in the Big Ten, not as much as they probably would have hoped. But I don't know that they fully were ready from a sheer overall commitment from everybody, buy-in, money, boosters, all of these types of things.
Well, remember, they were in the Big Ten in the early 90s.
Yeah, and they were pretty rough there. The first decade outside of 94 was pretty rough.
Well, but see, Paterno ran the university. I mean, Paterno ran that football program, and it was never going to do anything unless Joe gave his stamp of approval.
Yep.
And that takes you to talk about being in the Big Ten. Joe did Joe up until the time that he was fired, up until the time that everything happened, meaning that they weren't going to change. They were not going to get up with the times. And he, you know, and it was what it was. He had that lifetime contract, and for everything he did for the university, he wasn't going anywhere. And I think they're just, you know, institutionally, they have been doing, you know, this is what we do. Why isn't it working? I think the shift today, well, and another thing too, Corey, one of the things I was told from a university insider was that scandal cost the university so much money that in one sense, they weren't spending an extra dime on athletics until they got out from underneath that. It was like $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were pinching pennies, and they were doing status quo. I would imagine they're out of the woods now. But I've been thinking about this name, image, and likeness thing has me, and this transfer portal has me fired up, because they have to today. I mean, they've got instantaneous free agency. It's unlike even pro sports, where, you know, if you sign a contract, you're not going anywhere until free agency. When these kids hit campus, they can go anywhere the next year. There's no commitment. And if you're not going to pay your coaching staff and all of that, because I'll you know, we talk about James Franklin's coaching missteps. The more I thought about it, you know, if you're Ohio State and you can recruit, you know, your wide receivers can run a 4.3 and Penn State's cornerbacks are running a 4.4, that's a heck of an edge. And if you get this upper level talent because of the skewed way that a national championship winning team can pull anybody across the country, it's like, it doesn't matter. Ohio State still got the number one draft pick when it comes to recruiting. And if you're going to let that happen from year to year to year to year to year, and you're going to look at this, you have got to change everything if you're Penn State, because it doesn't matter whether you even make it into this national, into the Final Four. You're still up against the skewed system.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Anything else, Chuck?
No, brother.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. We're going to take a break here. We'll get to some more calls after this.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is on. He's going Cup Series racing for the very first time with his Junior Motorsports, and I don't think it's sunk in just yet.
When the car's pushed out for qualifying, I'll be there. When it's going out for practice, I'll be there when they unload it. On Wednesday at the racetrack, I want to go through tech. I want to see everything. So I don't know what's realistic, but because there'll be some other obligations, but I'm approaching this like it's a one and only opportunity, a dream come true. And I told Kelly, I said, I want you there for all of it as well, because we're going to do this. We've done this together from the start. And we're, you know, this is a very, you know, this was something that we really waited for the right moment. And Chris and his brand and Traveler and their excitement around it feels nice and genuine. And so they're experiencing it for the first time as well. So yeah, we're all like, yeah, we're all kind of going through that.
There's a lot of synergy in that way, I think, you know.
Exactly. So it's really cool. It's hard to put it into words right now, but I think, to Justin's point, I told him, I said, I think standing on, if we're fortunate enough for everything to go well and we can be there on the grid for the 500, that pre-race moment is going to be very emotional and really, really cool. So, you know, once it's on the grid, it's out of my hands, but getting it there is going to be a lot of fun.
You're on the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time. The next time you're out to dinner with friends, you can order the shrimp cocktail for the table. And maybe you'll realize it only comes with four shrimp after you've already given away three, but that one shrimp will be so good. And if you switch and save hundreds, you could get shrimp all the time. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shrimp. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. Babbel is designed with you in mind. From expert-created lessons to conversational video units and even live classes, you can personalize your Babbel experience to be exactly what you need to really learn a new language more easily. Go ahead, set a goal for yourself. Accomplish it with Babbel. Try Babbel for free. Go to babbel.com. That's babbel.com.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
I'm tempted to just let this go, man. Some Blink 182. All the small things. Work sucks. Blah, blah, blah. She left me roses by the stairs. Surprises let me know she cares. Say it ain't so, I will not go. All right, no more singing. 946-0435, Nebraska man. What's up, my dude? How you doing?
All right, Corey. Hey, Corey, did you like that song?
I love that song, man. That's Blink 182. You know that song, Nebraska man?
Yeah, would you please do me a favor?
Don't,
will you let them sing it from now on?
Don't sing it again?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Hey, I want to comment a little bit on Penn State. I believe the difference between Paterno and Franklin is back then everybody trusted Joe Paterno. They basically told him, "You go do what you got to do, and we'll back you 100%." Which he did. The difference between Joe Paterno and Franklin: Joe Paterno could beat the big schools, where Franklin can't. You know, and I still remember 1969, Penn State went to the Orange Bowl and beat Kansas. Kansas was ranked number one. Penn State was undefeated. That's the year Mike Reed won the Outland and Maxwell Trophy, and they didn't award Penn State the national championship. But the one thing about Paterno, the players the kids, they always wanted to play for him. Everybody I know around this area wanted to go to Penn State.
Look, you're right about all. I'm not talking so much today about football, because you're right about all that. What I'm talking about is buy-in. I'm talking about keeping up with the Joneses. And Neil made a great point a little bit ago. Okay, look, the reality of the history of Penn State football is that 80% of their wins were against teams. 90% of their wins were against teams that they were drastically superior than. Okay, the West Virginias, the Syracuse, Temple, Pitt for a long time, Boston College, Penn State. They didn't. Nebraska, I mean, they didn't have to fully buy in with all of their potential resources because they were just better. Okay, they're just better. And so the whole point of this discussion is It's taken until 2025 that we can finally say Penn State is ready to make a full-bore financial commitment like it's never done before. Well, you didn't have to do it before, because before 93, you were beating up on 90% of your opponents easily because you just dominated. You had twice the stadium size. You had twice the student body of all these teams. You should have beaten Syracuse and Pitt and Boston College and Maryland and Temple and West Virginia. You should have crushed all. And Rutgers. You should have crushed. If you look at the traditional record of Penn State against all those teams, it's like, oh, 650 or something. I mean, it's ridiculous how many games Penn State has won. So the whole point of what I'm trying to make is Penn State never fully bought into, we're going to put all of our money where our mouth is. They just now look, there's a big pause starting at the end of 2010 and 20 with the scandal. That was something that no other program has ever been through to that degree. Okay, so even SMU, because SMU, but that was a different story. So the point I'm trying to make is, if we're talking about Penn State buying all in 2025, you can't forget the history of why they didn't necessarily feel like they could buy in until 2025. And part of that, Nebraska man, is that I'll point this out. There are a lot of Penn State fans who just simply refuse to open up the checkbook after Joe was fired. They got to hating the school. They felt like Joe was so wrong, they weren't going to give any more money. They weren't going to renew their season ticket. That was a big stain for a number of years. All of these things come into play.
Yeah, but Corey, back in, do you actually believe that they would have paid a defensive or offensive coordinator?
You didn't have to. You didn't have to, because you're right. Going to beat the hell out of Boston College and Rutgers and Temple.
Right. But here, let me ask you this question. And I want you to be, you are very good at what you do. I don't know how many, I wish I had a dime for every time I said this. You are very, very good at what you do. But do you honestly believe, without no wide receivers on Penn, if Penn State don't get a half decent wide receivers this year, without the wide receivers, do you actually believe that Penn State has a shot to win a national championship?
No. I believe that they will get in the playoff, and if they get the gift of the world of playing SMU and Boise State again, I mean, the format helped them. No. Do I think Penn State's going to win a national? No, absolutely not. I truly don't. But I think they're going to get in the playoff. They can go 10-2. They can get in the playoff. If they land the most favorable path, you've heard me say this before, finding a national champion isn't always about finding the best team. It's about surviving the tournament. Now, this year they did find the best team in Ohio State, but Penn State was a couple plays away from getting the national championship game because, in large part, they had the easy path. So that's about the best answer I can give you.
Hey, Corey, great show today with Neil. I mean, that was I learned a lot today from you, too.
Excellent.
Good job.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Nebraska, man. We got Dave. Well, you get the final word, Dave. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Corey, just one point. Comparing Joe Paterno to the situation today in today's football is like apples and oranges.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, I think what Franklin has done is, and I don't mean this in a bad way, he's done his best salesmanship job.
Yep.
In the sense of, I think he has convinced the administration and the players that we're going for a national championship. This is the year. This is what's in front of us, and everybody's on board, and he's sold everybody on that. And I think that's what you need to take, that he's done his best salesmanship.
I absolutely agree. I just wonder why it didn't come a little. I just didn't wonder why it didn't come a little sooner.
Well, because I think they were waiting for the playoffs. He couldn't beat Ohio State. They couldn't beat
because
Michigan, wasn't beating the top four.
It's because they weren't winning the big games. I mean, he's won a lot. It's
right.
It's because they weren't winning the big games, and people still question whether he could. I got to cut you off there, Dave. We'll take a break. Wrap things up after this.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in three counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona. Arizona.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Something amazing is happening. Despite a citywide blackout, this company is still up and running. That's because CDW deployed and managed a cost-effective Eaton Triplight Series SmartPro UPS to safeguard equipment easily and reliably. Keep the power on and protect your IT equipment from electrical challenges. Triplight by Eaton and CDW. Make amazing happen. Find out more at cdw.com/triplight.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Good stuff today. A lot of good calls. Fantastic discussion with Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror. All right. Tomorrow, Nathan Forlina is hosting the show by himself. I will be here running the board and everything, but I'm not going to be talking. This will be his second time to do this. So if you're listening out there, give a call in. It'll help if you call and participate. If Nathan has to do this a whole hour without any calls, that can be really, really difficult. I know I've had to struggle through that. So whatever Nathan's talking about tomorrow, give him a call. Join in on the discussion. It's a good learning experience for the young guy. He's doing a really good job. So, again, Nathan will be on his own tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.